Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
The outstanding and our good friend, Neil Coolong. It is always a pleasure. I look forward to every Tuesday with you.
You bet. It's my favorite time of the week as well. Thanks for having me.
All right, Neil, I was just talking about the economics of baseball, and there's no cap. There's a luxury tax, which is a pseudo cap. And the number of have-nots in Major League Baseball is exponential. I mean, you look at them every year and go, no chance. The NFL only has five or six teams that fall into that category, mostly because it's because of bad management. What do you think a cap and a floor is meant to the league's competitiveness?
I think that's an excellent question. I think long-term, and in kind of a black and white perspective, the salary cap is there to keep teams from a talent perspective competitive with one another. If you can accept that the market will drive salaries to the point where, you know, the best players will continuously be paid more or less the most of a position. The cap was also implemented in a vastly different structure than the NFL is today.
Yep.
And what I mean by that is that the rookie wage scale largely changes the cap and the rules surrounding it. What we have now, some might argue, up to and including past nominees for union president, that what the cap is doing is squeezing out the middle tier, that the veterans from that market, and driving those prices down, where the top of the market is getting by far and away the most amount of money. And when I say top of the market, of course, you know I mean quarterbacks.
Right. yes.
I think the floor, which requires a lot more than an abacus to figure out exactly where every team is on the floor, is more or less moot nowadays. And that's one perspective to say teams are spending. I think the fact that there are consistently teams 15%+ away from the top of the cap suggests they really aren't spending as much as you think that they would be. I think salaries are escalating for quarterbacks, and perhaps that's really kind of the best way to do it. We see blips here and there of different positions, probably your top five positions. Right now, wide receiver is the hot commodity that's starting to get paid a bit more. You'd think that every position will kind of run into that, and that the less valuable ones just simply won't. They won't grow with it. It's not the top of the market that's the issue. It's the middle of it. A lot of them are just simply not getting paid because they don't have to be paid. You want one high-priced quarterback and then a lot of inexpensive role players around them. You want one really good wide receiver, hopefully on a rookie deal, but pay him when right. he reaches that point, and then put more rookies around him. It's really getting to be a reflection of the game itself, in my opinion. Call this the Tom Brady theory. When you have Tom Brady, you can work in a lot of different things around Tom Brady and never have to pay much for it, which is what the Patriots did. It wasn't Tom Brady taking these alleged discounts, which weren't incredibly far off of the market, less, but not as much. It's the fact that they paid Wes Welker and Julian Edelman combined over 8 years
right.
less than mid-market for a productive wide receiver, a veteran wide receiver. And they have like five all-pro bids between them. You don't have to pay much when you have the best guy. And as long as he is happy, you've got him signed, you don't have to pay a whole lot. So I don't really think anymore the cap is a reflection of the competitive balance. I think it is something that is easily gamed, not in a nefarious way. It's just the rules are so loose. It really doesn't matter. It's hard to screw up the cap, quote unquote. Rollover money every year, it expands that to a point where it's like, this is just basic accounting. I mean, they're not really, it would take a lot to get to the top of the cap. You'd have to try to get to the top of the cap. And to do that, you'd have to pay over market for most of your players. It's so high and you are able to save up so much money. And the idea is that you can roll that back into your roster. But the reality is you're paying for a quarterback, you're paying for a pass rusher, a cornerback, a tackle, and a receiver. Beyond that, the rest of those guys aren't making all that much, top to bottom. Yes, there are top-of-the-market people, but the veterans at that mid-level don't really make anything at all. And I'm trying to remember who it was. The former NFL defensive end from Pitt, Sean Gilbert. He ran on that platform for the presidency of the NFLPA, and nobody voted for him. Right. Which I thought was funny because it's like, you guys, this is what's going to happen. He was the only one that ever really called it out, and now we're seeing it much more in action. So I'm not even sure it's all that much different than a luxury cap system, to be honest. I think it's different numbers, it's different accounting, but it's not preventing anybody from really doing anything that they want to do except – come up with an excuse to tell fans why they're not going to pay this guy or that guy.
Right. The Steelers have been pretty good at this over the years. When you look at how they're able to move numbers around to make sure they have a competitive roster year in and year out, who are the ones that get the credit for that?
It's interesting. Omar Khan has been the guy that got into the cap work as far as being the face of it. You might remember the name Samir Suleiman,
yep,
who was an assistant GM. He was a cap wizard type of guy as well. They brought him in, I believe it was like 2012 or 2013, when the Steelers were a bit crunched cap-wise. They had, you know, some difficulties that kind of they sort of brought upon themselves at the end of the previous CBA, before the one that signed in 2010 with the rookie wage scale. They had a few cap-related issues, probably the closest the team has come to actually having real cap problems. They brought him in, but David Tepper, when he bought the Panthers, took him with him. So Khan has been there. They've brought in other people over the years. They keep them pretty quiet. I think that's, you know, they don't want word to get out of this guy or that guy. What I know on top of that is every NFL team has an army of accountants that look into these things, that know the rules, that as part of their negotiation process. It's not figuring out the cap. Everyone always wants to put the cap first. It's not the caps, it's the contracts.
Right.
Who you're signing to what and for how long. And those contracts are specifically catered to go around the team's philosophy of what they want to do. They know this guy is going to come due this year. They know that guy is going to be, you know, odds are good he's not going to be on the team anymore. They'll have this freed up. They work everything around those, call them benchmarks. The people doing that, there are a lot of them. There's a lot that goes into that. By and large, I mean, obviously everything rolls up to the general manager, but Omar Khan in his position was responsible for the output of that department. And I would say with that, you know, you could fairly credit him with the Steelers' cap strategy over the last several years now. And one, if you want to look at it black and white, were they ever over the cap? No. So it was successful. Right. What the Steelers did wasn't magic either. I mean, it really was just a matter of giving a low signing bonus and then kind of giving out a bonus in the form of guaranteed money, not new money, but just guaranteeing roster salary each year. As in, you do this year, we'll make you good the next year. We'll guarantee your contract the next year. You do that once or twice, yes, they hit kind of higher cap numbers at the end. But if you intend to keep the player for the 4 years that you signed him for, which sadly is a kind of a unique concept in the NFL. They really don't do that. The Steelers, though, do. They keep their players because they want to keep their players. They aren't interested in making them try out each year. They want to have a core group that is asked to do certain things, and when they do, they will guarantee their contract. They over the last 10, 15 years, they've come probably closer to guaranteeing the most amount of money to players year to year than any team in the NFL. That I believe is a combination of a lot of things. I mean, obviously Art Rooney is involved with that, as is Kevin Colbert, but Omar Khan is the guy that put the numbers together on it. And it's to the to the degree that they've had a competitive team with a high-paid quarterback and a lot of other high-paid position players, and they've never gone over the cap, it's been successful. Many will say, well, they weren't successful on the field all the time, and they had cap problems. I don't know if it's a cap problem as much as they might not just simply want to spend more money than they already have, and they're putting it into the players that they already have. They're not as interested in signing above-market free agents. So for what they did, it seems like it's successful.
A football-related question. They obviously now have Micah Fitzpatrick long-term. They have T.J. Watt long-term. Cam Hayward's still there. They've acquired Miles Jack. So I've gotten the front line, back line, now in the middle. So they've acquired Miles Jack. What can Jack mean to this defense, and what can he mean maybe to Devin Bush?
The thing with Jack, it's a literal upgrade in every conceivable area in comparison to what they had at inside linebacker last year. Joe Schobert, for his part, just simply was not getting the job done. There's a reason he's not even signed yet anywhere else. Devin Bush, it wasn't much better. I've said this before. If Devin Bush was a third-round pick, there's no way he would have been on the field as long as he was last year.
Mm-hmm.
Jack, who is not an elite player, who is not might not even be in the league for another three seasons, Jack is an upgrade in every area in that regard. And I think with it, you have a veteran player with reasonable enough athleticism to plus athleticism, who is going to know where he's supposed to be pre-snap, during snap. He knows run fits. He knows coverage. And I'm not even talking about an all-pro player here. I'm talking about a reasonable, solid veteran to above average. You know, in that range is probably right for him. And he was the player above any other they absolutely needed to have for the 2022 season. They have an excellent defense. You highlighted that. You know, you've got a franchise player in T.J. Watt. You've got, I think, the best back-end safety in the NFL, Mick Fitzpatrick. They invested a lot in the cornerbacks. They signed three cornerbacks to contracts, veterans, and didn't draft any. That's a team that wants to use a lot of corners. To not have that middle figured out would have been tragic as far as what their defense could be if they're able to bring it all together. And if we're being realistic, what the offense probably is going to be, which is not a marked improvement from a pretty bad showing last year. So I think Jack becomes, if we want to get into valuable versus important or whatever that means, I think he is the most important player on the Steelers this season, up to and including whatever quarterback they're going to put out there. Simply because if Jack is able to do their job, I'm not sure there is a better defense in the NFL than what the Steelers have, at least from a talent perspective. I love the additions that they've made among their coaches. That there's so much versatility within that unit that if they simply have a guy in the middle who can do the job the way that it's supposed to be done at a fairly decent level, it's going to make everybody in front of him and behind him a lot better. And if he's the green dot guy, calling out the coverages, relaying the defense from the sideline, a veteran who knows what he's doing and can rally everybody around him in doing that, they're going to be a pretty dominant unit, and it's going to be enjoyable to watch. And they're frankly going to have to, because this is not an explosive offensive team. Their defense is going to have to take the ball away. They're going to have to sack the quarterback, and they're going to have to get stops and short yardage. And I think they have the ability to do that if they get a marked improvement among their inside linebackers. And I think Jack gives them exactly that.
Always fun on Tuesdays with you. Thank you so much, Neil. Really appreciate the time. As always, my friend.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.